Blog Talk Radio.
When Jesus went back across to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. A leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came and fell down before him, pleading with him to heal his little daughter. "She is about to die," said the physician.
"Please come and place your hands on her. Heal her so she can live."
Jesus went with him, and the crowd talked big. There was a woman in the crowd who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors through the years and had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she was worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched the fringe of his robe, as she thought to herself,
"I can just touch his clothing. I will be healed."
Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel that she had been. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out for him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Touch my clothes." His disciples said to him,
"All this crowd is pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?"
But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. He said, "My daughter, your faith has made you whole." While he was still speaking, two messengers arrived from Jairus' home with a message.
"Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now."
But Jesus ignored the comments and said to Jairus, "Just message." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter and James and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion and the weeping and wailing. He went inside and spoke to the people. "Why all this weeping and commotion?" he asked. "The child isn't dead. She is only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but told them all to go outside. Then he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Get up, little girl." The girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Her parents were absolutely overwhelmed. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone what had happened. He told them to give her something. Chapter 6. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They asked, "Where did he get all his wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, a brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters live right here among us." They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. But Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his relatives and his own family." Because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any mighty miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went out from village to village teaching, and he called his 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two with authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing with them except the walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He told them to wear sandals, but not to take even an extra coat. "And you enter each village, be a guest in only one home," he said. "And if a village won't welcome you or listen to you, shake off its dust from your feet as you leave. It is a sign that you have abandoned that village to its fate." So the disciples went out, telling all they met to turn from their sins. They cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Herod Antipas, the Jew, soon heard about Jesus because people everywhere were talking about it. Some were saying, "This must be John the Baptist come back to life again. That is why he can do such miracles." Others thought Jesus was the ancient prophet Elijah. Still others thought he was a prophet like the other great prophets of the past. But when Herod heard about Jesus, he said,
"John, the man I beheaded, has come back from the dead."
For Herod had sent soldiers to arrest and imprison John as a favor to Herodias. She had been his brother Philip's wife, but Herod had married her. John kept telling Herod,
"It is illegal for you to marry your brother's wife."
Worthing's was enraged and wanted John killed in revenge. Without the evidence of proof, she was not innocent. Harriet was mad, knowing that he was a good and holy man, so he kept him under his protection. Harriet was disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked this. Herodias is chance, I think. It was Harriet's birthday, and he gave a party for his palace aides, army officers, and the leading citizens of Galilee. Then his daughter also named Herodias, came in and performed a dance that greatly pleased the
multitude. Ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. I will give you whatever you ask, up to half of my kingdom.
She did not ask for.
What should I ask for?
Her mother told her.
Ask for just the Baptist.
So the girl hurried back to the king and told him.
I want the head of John the Baptist right now, on a tray.
The king was very sorry, but he was embarrassed to break his oath in front of his guests. So he sent an executioner to the prison to cut off John's head and bring it to him. The soldier beheaded John in the prison, brought his head on a tray, and gave it to the girl who took it to her mother. John's disciples heard what had happened. They put his body in the very last. The apostles returned to Jesus from the ministry tour and told him all they had done and what they had taught. Then Jesus said, let's get away from the crowds for a while and rest. There were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't have time to move. They left by boat for a quieter spot. But many people saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and met them as they left. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he taught them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and it is getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy themselves something. But Jesus said, with what? It would take a small fortune to buy food for all this crowd. How much food do you have?
Yes.
Go and buy them. They came back and said, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus told the crowd to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, asked God's blessing on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept the bread and fish to the disciples to give to the people. All ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. 5,000 men had eaten those 5. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and head out across the lake to Bethsaida, while he sent the people home. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. During the night, the disciples were in their boat, out in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on them. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he came to them walking on the water. Started to go past them, but when they saw him walking on the water, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right. I am here. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat and the boat stopped. They still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the multiplied loaves, but their hearts were hard and they did not. When they arrived at Gennesaret on the other side of the lake, they anchored the boat and climbed in. People standing there recognized him at once, and they ran throughout the whole area and began carrying him to his own house. Wherever he went, in villages and cities and out on the farms, they made the sick in marketplaces and streets. The sick begged and they led him in the nations, the bridges rolled, and all touched him. Day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived in Jerusalem to confront Jesus. They noticed that some of Jesus' disciples failed to follow the usual Jewish ritual of hand washing the holy. Especially the Pharisees do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, This is but one of many traditions they adopted, such as their ceremony of washing cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old customs? Will they eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, 'People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. The worshippers of Christ, for they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings. If you ignore God's specific laws, substitute your own traditions.'" And he said, "Reject God's laws in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this line of God: 'Honor your father and mother, and make your speech, for a father or mother must be put to death.'" You say, "It's all right if you say to your parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I could have given to you.' But that could disregard their needy parents. Such you break the law of God in order to protect your own tradition. This is only one time. There are parents." Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "All of you listen," he said, "and try to understand. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do." Then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowds, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the statement he made. "Do you understand either?" he answered. "Can't you see that what you eat won't defile you? Who doesn't come in contact with your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then comes out again?" By saying this, he showed that every kind of food is acceptable. Then he added, "It is the thought life that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, angry things, lack of pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you and make you unacceptable to God." Then Jesus left Galilee and went north into the region of Tyre. He tried to keep a secret that he was there, but he couldn't. As usual, the news of his arrival spread fast. Right away, a woman came to him whose little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She had heard about Jesus, and now she came and fell at his feet. She begged him to release her child from the demon's control. And she was a Gentile born in Syria and Phoenicia. Jesus told her, "First, I should help my own family with Jesus. Is it right to take both children and throw to the dogs?" She replied, "Even the dogs under the people are given some crumbs from the children's bodies." "Good answer," he said. "Because you have answered so well, I have healed your daughter. And when she arrived home, her little girl